Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. And before Tom and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Helias head coach Chris Henches.
Take a quick look back at last week. You know, down at halftime, first time all year, and then come out and score 48 unanswered. Must have been a heck of a halftime, huh?
Well, you know, people have been asking, oh, you're not supposed to really chewed on them. But you know, we challenged them. And, you know, I think this group responded to what our challenges were. And it was some good halftime adjustments by the coaches, some things that we had worked on all week that thought were going to be good, really weren't. And we made some adjustments on our defensive front and how we were going to set the edge and who was setting the edge, which allowed our backside pursuit to, you know, to get to the football, you know. And when you look at defensively first half versus second half, you know, in the first half, you know, we were, a lot of it was one-on-one tackling. In the second half, we had 5-6 guys there every time he touched the football. We played, you know, much better team defense, running to the football defense, and got the offense the ball back, and the offense was able to really click. You know, I thought Drew threw the ball really well. Again, the offensive line still doing a great job of protecting him, having given up a sack all year, which is really a great accomplishment. It was one of those games where, you know, we really passed to set up the run. You know, yeah. we loosened them up, and then you saw the run game come online in the third quarter, and late into the fourth quarter, we were able to kind of establish what we wanted to establish back in the first quarter.
Let's talk a little bit about halftime adjustments. You make them every week, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Was last Friday night a bunch of big adjustments, or was just tweaking stuff?
Well, from the defensive standpoint, Coach Pitts and his staff, they make all the defensive adjustments. Some of it were more minor things. Some of it was making sure our defensive ends are setting the edge. That was more technique, and then maybe who we had setting the edge. Nate Rourke, we kind of put him on their strong side, the side where their good offensive lineman was, and he did a great job of setting the edge and allowing our defense. You know, some of it was scheme, too, and how we were playing our linebackers. I think we were much more aggressive and trying to define things. Taking it to them rather than and watching, waiting for cutback and being passive. So I think some of it was mentality, but a lot of it, I think, you know, and if you watch this, we didn't play bad in the first half on either side of the ball. But I didn't think we played with a lot of emotion. And I think maybe that was my message to them at halftime, was let's play with some emotion. Let's have some fun. They responded, and I thought we played with a lot of emotion. Offensively, we didn't do a whole lot different. I mean, as an offensive staff, Coach Rockers and his offensive staff, we get together and we kind of focus in, okay, what was working, you know, what are some complementary plays that we can run, you know, what was on our play script, what did we think about, you know, during the week was going to be a good play, which we haven't run yet. Are they doing anything different to us defensively? And we try to make some halftime adjustments, but you know, both Coach Rockers and Coach Pitts did a great job of adjusting halftime things, and the kids responded, and we came out and we just executed so much better and played with so much more energy and emotion and had fun doing it.
I guess you can make all the adjustments in the world, but they still have to go out there and do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're blessed with some smart kids, and you know, I think both of our systems too, our defensive system and our offensive systems, really lend themselves to those kind of adjustments. What maybe to some coaches and some observers are like, gosh, how can you do that in a halftime? But when you really teach a system, you just have to tweak. Sometimes it's just little minor things. It looks like it's a major thing, but it's things we've already taught the boys. It's things that we've taught them back in the very first week of camp. They know how to do it. We just have to get them in those positions. And again, they responded well. We coached it well. They responded well, and it was a really explosive second half.
Okay, and then tonight you've got a state ranked battle between you and Cardinal Ritter.
Yeah. Cardinal Ritter, it's a familiar foe for us. We've played them several times here over the last 6 years. They have a lot of high caliber talent. Receiver going to Michigan. A couple of other defensive or D1 kids that haven't committed yet. But they come in very fast, very physical, a very gifted football team, and we're going to have to play really well.
Are they somewhat similar to Battle, but, you know, they just have athletes kind of all over the field, I guess?
I think they're faster. They're faster. They got speed, and particularly on the defensive side of the ball, they have speed in all 11 positions. You know, that's what makes them a little bit more unique. They're maybe not as big as Battle is in some spots, but they run really well. You know, offensively, Battle had a really big physical running back. Cardinal Ritter's guys are a little slighter. They don't have a running back with that kind of size, but they've got just speed all over the place and a very athletic quarterback.
Defensively, they haven't given up a lot of points, have they?
No, they haven't. They play a very good, very sound, you know, 4-3 structure, and one that we're familiar with. But again, it's trying to make them uncomfortable is one of the things we're going to try to do tonight. Make them uncomfortable with formation, shifts, motions. Give them some things that we really haven't shown a lot. So if you're coming out to watch tonight, you're going to see a few different formations and a few different motion things that we haven't presented to any team yet. You know, trying to get them out of their comfort zone and make them a little uncomfortable so we can exploit maybe, you know, some seams in their defense.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Elias head coach Chris Inches. And Tom, I guess the biggest thing we got to talk about with you, since we know that was you, is just the comeback last week. I mean, if it was kind of one of those things where I think it was surprising to everybody to see the halftime score, and I think it was probably surprising to see what happened in the second half after that.
Yeah, I imagine when I put that out, I bet people were going on Twitter, go, what in the world is going on at Rancho Stadium?
Right.
Because, you know, not that Battle wasn't good, but that was really a surprising score, being down 16-10. And it was kind of the way they were behind 16-10. You know, Battle had 300 yards, of total offense in the first half. Mm. And, you know, Elias was a little below that. And so, you know, they went to the locker room. Elias was going to get the ball first to start the third quarter. And thought, okay, well, let's see how they come out, because Elias can make adjustments.
Right.
As coaches, as a coaching staff. You know, it to me, and probably a little biased here because I watch them all the time, but I would put them up against pretty much anybody in the state as a group that can come up with the proper adjustments to fix things.
Sure.
At halftime, what needs to be fixed. You know, and as Chris told
And I guess
me,
the obvious question is, what were the adjustments?
Well, yeah. And as Chris told me, he said he didn't think they played that badly. It was just a matter of, you know, tweaking the thing here or there.
Okay.
So, you know, they get up, they score like three times in the first 6 minutes of the third quarter. The game is basically over at that point. You know, Battle's not coming back from that. And ends up 58-16. So the first thing I do, I thought, well, this is going to be fun. I want to go down and find out exactly how much paint is still left on the walls in that locker room.
Right.
I'm sure they got chewed out.
Right.
So the first person I run into is defensive coordinator Phil Pitts. And he walks over and he goes, he shows me the defensive play card, which, as I'm making gestures here, you won't see, but it looks like a Waffle House menu.
Okay.
You know, laminated. You know, people know what a Waffle House menu looks like.
Right.
If you're in, yeah. If you don't.
If you frequent that.
Yeah, if you frequent that sort of place. So he goes, this is what we did in the first half. And it was just clean. And he said, this is what didn't work in the first half. He showed this side. And he goes, this is what we did in the second half. I turned it over. And it was the same thing, except red marks everywhere. So I thought, okay, well, we made a lot of adjustments. So then I went and talked to Nate Roark, who, the defensive end, plays tight end and deep snapper. And I said, well, how bad was that halftime talk? And he goes, actually, really wasn't bad at all.
Yeah.
He said, you know, we just knew that we had to play better, made adjustments, came out, and played. And then I went and talked to him. Oh, no, there's more. Then I went and talked to Corbin Fisher. Corbin Fisher goes, Tom, it wasn't that bad at all. We knew it was our fault. We had to just make a couple adjustments. Not a problem.
Right.
And then I went to Chris. Okay, all right. I've heard from two different people. There wasn't any yelling. It was just tweaking things. And he goes, that's what it was. We really didn't yell at him. It wasn't some great, you know, come to Jesus meeting at halftime. It's just, we just had to fix a couple things. We fixed them. And then, as he said, you know, Jimmy said, it was probably one of the best halves of football Elias has played in a long time, and I thought it was.
And I think sometimes that's just the kind of thing that we think we maybe expect in instances like that. But like you say, halftime's shorter than you think it is. By the time you get the kids in there, you get them all settled, and then you have to make those adjustments. You don't really have time to belabor the point and yell at them.
Yeah.
You got to get down to business, and you got to get things in and ready in a hurry. So I think sometimes there is that thought that, yeah, they must have really rallied them. Sometimes there's not room to rally because you're busy teaching as fast as you can.
Yeah, and you think you just can't come up with adjustments. Well, okay, now what are we going to do different? You have to do that during the first half, going, all right, we need to fix this, and then get down and immediately get on to
it. Right, right.
And then the most important part, and I brought this up to Chris, and I can't remember if it's in the podcast interview or not, I said, you got to have kids that can do that.
Right, right.
I mean, you've got them for like 8 to 10 minutes.
Right.
go, hey, we have to do this differently now. And it has to sink in. Everything they've done all week, it's got to change like that.
Right.
And they did. And, yeah. it turned out to be an impressive, you know, what would that be, 24 minutes of football.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. I think you've got time to tell them it probably one time, and it's got to sink in the first time,
yeah.
not the second or the third time. Because
right.
if you do, then you're not going to get in as much as you need to, and then all of a sudden you might be in a tighter game than it needs to be at that point.
Yeah.
So I guess, that's one of those things where we kind of expected it to be the final score. It didn't end up to be that way. Always interesting to see how these games play out.
Right.
I think another game that's going to be interesting to see how it plays out comes today,
yeah.
where you're going to host Cardinal Reuters 7 o'clock at Hinchas Stadium. This, I think, is one of those where you look at it and just go, hey, this is kind of fun. I mean, you got a couple state-ranked teams, and you're kind of expecting this to be a good one.
Yeah, they played off and on in recent years. You know, a couple of years ago, Cardinal Reuters came down here in the COVID year, and with Luther Burden at the time, now playing at Missouri,
right.
God, what would he have been then, a freshman or a sophomore? And Hawaii's ended up winning the game, but Burden got hurt before halftime, didn't play in the second half, which might have made the second half a little more interesting than it was.
Sure.
And you know, Hawaii's, I think in Chris's first year, went up there and just got smoked by Cardinal Reuters. You know, they just threw bomb after bomb. I think Jameson Williams played, who's now in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was quite a game. And so... yeah, there have been some good games recently between these two. You know, I think it's a nice game out of conference for Hawaii.
Sure.
You know, you look, they've got Hannibal out of conference, a state ranked team. They have Cardinal Ritter out of conference, a state ranked team. So they're playing people out of conference that are good. And it's hard to, you know, who knows how good is this Cardinal Ritter team? Well, we'll talk about that now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess before, you know, it is worth noting, they're the number 2 team in Class 3. Hawaii's yeah. the number 6 team in Class 5. Both, I think, have earned those laurels based yeah. on how things have gone so far this year. So I think it's just, you know, you always go, well, you're going to give the edge to the yeah. to the bigger school team in an instance where you got state-ranked teams. I don't know that I necessarily give the edge to the bigger school in this
yeah.
instance.
No, you know, Cardinal Ritter is getting one first place vote in the Missouri media rankings. And hey, it's mine. So,
good job, Tom.
Yeah, thanks. So, so obviously, I have respect for them and their program. You know, I've seen them through the years. Yeah, it's a good game for Hawaii. You know, they aren't probably going to see team speed like they're going to see from them the rest of the year.
Right.
I don't care who they play. It's going to be, you know. I said, well, what is it? Kind of like, is, you know, is it somewhat similar to battle? He goes, well. But they're faster at every position.
Okay.
So I said, gotcha.
Right.
And so, you know, it's going to be a good test of, you know, technique versus speed.
Sure.
On both sides of the ball, offense and defense, really.
And, you know, in some instances, it's almost like, well, if your team that doesn't do this or doesn't have opponents like this pretty regularly, this might be a harder thing for you to go, yes, you can talk technique all day long, but sometimes you still got to, you know, you got to make up for
yeah.
just the difference in speed. To Hawaii's credit, they do this stuff on their schedule all the time, where they schedule teams like this, where you go, this is not the first time any of these kids probably been put in a situation where they go, hey, you guys are going to have to be super sound because we're going to be outquicked in this one. They're kind of used to that.
Yeah, you know, you can think of it kind of a way as a playoff game. You know,
sure.
You're going to see a talented team down the road. You know, this is going to be a good test to see how you're going to do it, how you can compete against really good athletes. And
mm-hmm.
not that Hawaii doesn't have great athletes, but they don't have 4-5 speed in the 40.
Right.
Like Cardinal Ritter's going to run at him at several spots.
And it's not even just so much the you need to be a little more disciplined, you need to be sound in what you're doing. It's that you need to do it for an entire game.
Right.
Some teams can do it for a quarter, a half, maybe even 3 quarters, and then it's just like sooner or later that speed wins. Hawaii's in the past has been able to do it where they do play a whole 4 quarters, and then all of a sudden they're able to overcome that. So
yeah.
I think sometimes it's just that ability to go, hey, yeah, we are at a disadvantage, and we're going to be at a disadvantage all game long, but
yeah.
let's just work through it.
Yeah, stay with it.
Right.
Yeah, you may have got beat on that play. Okay, next play, let's go, and you know, get into halftime, and hey, we're going back to the magic adjustments again. You might be able to figure something out there.
Right.
It's just... I think it's good for them. Now, it's hard to replicate that speed in practice.
Yeah. Why,
you know, Hawaii just doesn't have those kids and really never has.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be a matter of, you know, getting used to it in the first quarter to make sure that you're just not getting caught going, well, where did that guy go?
Right. So I guess the obvious question is then, who's the speediest of the speedy or who's the best of the speediest?
Receiver Frederick Moore, who is a big kid who has orally committed to Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah. So they've got yet another, you know, Big Ten receiver on the team. You know, then Marvin Burks is a junior, but he's getting a lot of D1 looks to it, running back, but he's getting looked more at in the secondary. And that's another thing. Don't forget that speed plays on defense, too.
Right.
And so, you know, it's those are the two guys, really. You know, the quarterback is good. I can't remember the young man's name, but McKay is his last name, but throws the ball okay. You know, can throw a little bit of the deep ball, which concerns Elias, you know, getting beat deep. So I think it'll be a lot of fun to see what Elias can do against that really, really, really potent Cardinal Ritter offense.
And you mentioned it, and I was going to ask you about it, but, you know, it's always kind of the first thing we think of when you go, oh, they got team speed. We worry about it from Elias keeping up on a defensive standpoint. So, but the thing is how then do you kind of counteract that on offense when you've got to go against the guys that where speed can make up for certain things? Or, you know, you may be inclined to think, oh, maybe if we can beat them deep, well, a lot of times they've got that catch-up speed. How do you counteract their speed on defense then, too, if you're Elias?
You just kind of hope that, you know, you're getting 3, 4, 5 yards a pop, no matter what you're doing, whether it's a pass, a run, whatever, ball control. You know, they can't score if they ain't got it.
Right.
Now they can, I guess, return interception. But that's not going to happen, right? Uh-huh. But it's just, you've just got to be smart and be patient and just realize that, hey, it's a 48-minute game.
Sure.
And we've got to play it to the end.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I guess it gets us naturally to the prediction point of the podcast, and I guess, I think this is going to be a fun one to watch. I think we're going to expect some fireworks at times, but how high-scoring and or low-scoring do you see this one being, and who do you see coming out on top?
I don't know that it's going to be as high-scoring as some people might think. I think the defenses are both going to do a pretty good job tonight. I'm going to say Cardinal Ritter does not kick extra points. No, they go for two every time. Okay. So, Hawaii's 28-20.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter @TJRackers. Thanks for listening.